Good day. I'm Lori McGinley with Kaiser Health News, and this is Health on the Hill. Today, we're talking with Mary Agnes Carey with Kaiser Health News about all the recent developments in Congress. So, Mary Agnes, it looks as though Mr. Reed finally has himself a bill just before Christmas, just as he predicted. How did he pull that off?
Well, he had to reach agreements with a lot of senators, but in particular, Ben Nelson, a Democratic moderate of Nebraska, was a key player here. He had very strong concerns about the abortion issue. They reached a funding compromise, which basically secured Senator Nelson's vote. But of course, in any big piece of legislation, someone like Harry Reid, the majority leader in that position, has to do a lot of work with other members to get their support, and they have a lot of targeted provisions. Some that have gotten a lot of attention include additional Medicaid funding for Nebraska. Now, that funding would include, there's going to be an extension of Medicaid coverage, and so the federal government would pick up the entire coverage of that new population, the extended population, forever for Nebraska under the agreement. Vermont got some extra Medicaid money. Massachusetts got some extra Medicaid money. There's other provisions scattered through the bills to get support. But Senator Reid has been very open about when you get have a bill this big and comprehensive, that you have to almost, you have to target certain provisions to senators, and senators go and try to get these provisions for their states. So this is all part of the negotiations that will continue even past, if there is a Senate passage, which people expect there will be.
And Republicans, of course, are calling this a Christmas tree bill, but have been known to do similar things in the past.
Right. When both majorities, both parties, when they're in the majority, have to do these things to get a big bill. Remember, this health care bill is sweeping, it's comprehensive, it's a sixth of the economy, it's one of the toughest things that Congress has ever had to do. And so I think you can expect this kind of horse trading all the way to the end.
So now they go to conference, and I guess the question I would ask, is everyone says it has to come out looking very much like the Senate bill because the margin for error is so slight in the Senate. So why do we even need a conference, and what's going to happen in the conference?
Well, there are two chambers, the House and the Senate, and of course, the House will want to do as much as it can to preserve its health care bill. This will be the delicate balance. House Democrats will feel that, of course, they want to have their bill preserved as much as possible, but as we've already heard from, we've talked about Ben Nelson of Nebraska, Joe Lieberman, an independent from Connecticut, has said if the final package, these two senators have said, if the final package isn't close to the Senate package, that they won't be able to support it. And so there's a lot of concern if the Senate bill doesn't, if the final conference package, rather, isn't close to the Senate bill, that it won't pass the Senate. And if nothing passes, then it won't matter whether the House or the Senate what's in the bills because there won't be a final health care bill. So this is where Nancy Pelosi, who's Speaker of the House, Harry Reid, who's the Majority Leader of the Senate, have to negotiate to try to get the provisions in that final package that will win final support in both chambers.
What are some of the biggest differences between the two bills?
Well, there's financing for one. For example, in the Senate bill, a key part of financing is an increase in the Medicare payroll tax for the highest wage earners. Here we're talking about individuals making $200,000 or higher, or couples $250,000 or higher. In the Senate bill, there's also a tax on what's deemed high-cost health insurance plans. And here we're talking about family policies that are around $23,000, individuals around $8,500. There are some exceptions for police, firefighters, and high-risk professions. Go to the House side, a major finance provision there is on a tax on high wage earners in the sense of tax of all the income, $500,000, well, rather in advance of these thresholds, in excess of the thresholds, higher than $500,000 for individuals or $1 million for couples. That doesn't seem to have any appeal, that tax, House tax in the Senate. And in the House, the tax on the high-cost health insurance plans doesn't seem to have a lot of appeal, so that'll be a key fighting point. Abortion is different. There's a compromise reached with Senator Nelson. The House has far more restrictive abortion language. That'll be an issue.
Will that be the final issue, do you think, abortion? Is that going to be the hardest issue to negotiate?
I think it'll be one of the hardest because both sides have such strong, passionate feelings. Abortion rights opponents feel that language in the Senate bill goes well beyond the Hyde language. And again, this would prohibit federal funding for abortions except in the cases of rape, incest, or to save the life of the mother. And so they will fight very much to see any kind of any expansion beyond that or language they feel that goes beyond that. They want to stop it. Conversely, abortion rights proponents want to preserve what they feel are individual rights to spend your own money to get abortion services. So this will be one of the defining issues in this debate. It has been and it will continue to be.
And are we assuming then there will be yet a third abortion provision essentially written by the conferees?
There could be, yes, very much so. But again, let's remember that balance. Bart Stupak, who's a Democrat of Michigan in the House, is pushing very much for his language, which was far more restrictive. No abortion services offered in a public plan or through the tax, you know, through, in exchanges where people can get subsidies. And he will very much push for that. And again, in the Senate, we have a difference where you would allow states, as they currently do under current law, could pass laws saying abortion couldn't be allowed in the exchange. But if you buy a health plan that has abortion services, you'd have to write two separate checks to keep that firewall. Ben Nelson feels that's a strong firewall, but abortion rights opponents do not.
What about the public plan? That sounds as though it's really dead for now, that it's going to be very hard for the House to prevail on that.
Right, it will be. Now, in the Senate, what they've done as a compromise is have the Office of Personnel Management that oversees the Federal Health Insurance Employees Health Plan, have them negotiate national plans, one of which must be a not-for-profit plan, to offer to people. Now, public plan proponents will not like this. They won't feel it's strong enough. But again, as we're talking about, if you've got to get close to that Senate language for passage, the thought is that that is where public plan issue will end up closer to the Senate language that has the OPM involved.
Then there's another tier of issues where the House and Senate bills both have similar provisions, but there are even in those cases, there's enough of a difference to create some problems. Tell us a little bit about some of those.
They both provide subsidies, for example, to folks up to 400% of the poverty level to be able to buy health insurance. The House does it differently than the Senate. The House subsidies are perceived to be more generous. This could be an issue in conference where the Senate makes some compromises and tries to have some differences in the funding there. On the Medicaid expansion, both bills do that. The House does it to 150% of the poverty level. The Senate does to about 133% of the poverty level. So we'll have to work that out. The Senate has a different formula than the House on the sense of helping states to cover the cost of that expansion. The governors are very concerned about additional cost to them. That'll have to be resolved. And on the exchanges, both plans would offer this idea of an exchange, a menu of choices for insurance you can purchase. The Senate has the states play a strong role in the exchanges. In the House there, it's a national exchange, so they're going to have to resolve how they work that out.
It's interesting when you look at this, the different opinion, obviously, from a political standpoint that the Democrats and the Republicans have. The Democrats seem to have accepted this theory that has been pushed by Rahm Emanuel and Bill Clinton, that they'll pay heavily at the polls next year if they don't pass health care reform. And the Republicans think that the Democrats are making a titanic political mistake. What do you think about those warring views of this legislation?
Well, I think that I can see where they're both coming from. As you say, you know, Rahm Emanuel, former member of the House, now key in the White House, and former President Bill Clinton are saying, you know, look, folks, we've been down this road before. If you don't pass it now, it's not going to happen for a long time, and that they campaigned for, it's why they have the majorities in Congress, you know, that proponents of, you know, Democratic proponents of this will say, this is why we were elected to do this. And if we don't do it, we're going to be hurt in the midterm elections in 2010 and in the presidential election as well. I think there's also an awareness from many Democrats of just the pure logistics of getting to this point, all the hearings, all the back and forth. Let's remember, we had five committees of jurisdiction pass this bill in the House and the Senate, and they're trying to merge them, how tough this process is. So I think the Democrats feel, many of them, they need to deliver and they need to do it now. But Republicans think that this is a big political miscalculation of the Democrats. They're pointing continuously in the debate on the Senate, which is ongoing, and they've done this in the House and will continue. They say the bill is too expensive, it'll cut Medicare too deeply, it won't do enough for people who currently have insurance, will raise their premiums, they're throwing all sorts of charges out there. And so while they're fighting the bill vehemently, especially in the Senate, and want to stop it, I think they think Democrats will pay for this as far as their candidacy in the midterms and at the presidential election.
Do you think the final vote on this is in fact going to go to Christmas Eve, or does there seem to be any indication that it might occur earlier?
Well, there is some discussion that perhaps we wouldn't, we'll have to see how it plays out, but I think now we've had a few procedural votes that show that Senate Democrats have got the 60 votes to pass this. So you may have some decision on the Republican side of the aisle that perhaps they don't need to have that final vote as late as Christmas Eve. We're talking now in the 7 to 10 p.m. window. There's going to be some meetings on Capitol Hill today, some discussions among the Republicans, and so we'll see where they are later today.
Great. Mary Agnes, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
This is Health on the Hill. Thank you for joining us, and happy holidays.